We're going to read verse 18 down through verse 22 this morning. We've been going through the book of James on Sunday mornings. We've been calling this series Monday Morning Christianity, because we're not just Sunday Christians. We're Christians all throughout the week. Our work week starts Monday morning. Monday morning, we hop right out of bed, excited about serving Jesus. Maybe this Monday we will. We'll be excited about serving Jesus. Maybe we'll hop it right out of it. Last Sunday, we talked about the work of receiving. And we talked about blessings or cursings. God has set before us a blessing or a curse. It's up to us to choose. And I mean, it's pretty clear what James and what God want us to choose. They want us to choose a life that God can bless. That we live a life that God is able to pour his blessing out upon that life. This next passage that we get to, starting in verse 18, gets down to the very basics of what it means to be a Christian and the simple work that God blesses. We're going to talk about the work of continuing this morning. That's the title, the work of continuing. So let's read starting in verse 18 down through verse 22 of James chapter 1. It says, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we are thankful that we have this morning the word of God. And so, Lord, help us to approach your word with a reverence and a desire to hear and to obey your word. So, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would teach us. Bless this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Last year, I went on the senior trip with the seniors from BBA. And on that senior trip, we went to a Washington Nationals baseball game. And so we were there at the stadium and just had a really good time rooted for the home team. I don't know, just had a really fun, enjoyable afternoon watching some baseball in the nice, beautiful weather. I also bought a hot dog because, you know, you have to, right? So, but kind of side note, they say eye appeal is half the meal, right? I think the other half is price, like the cost of things. Like that makes, and so if you can get something that looks good and is cheap, it's enjoyable. So I half enjoyed this hot dog. Is the point I was getting to, right? But good time at this baseball game. But as we were there, watching the game, there was a group of guys that were seated, like kind of around the stadium on a lower level, and they were really into this game. And then all of a sudden, they started doing the wave. Okay, so they did the thing where you go like that, and so they started it. And then we watched as it came around the stadium and it came to us, and we participated, right, our whole group. And then it went all the way around, and it made it all the way back to these guys. And they were so excited, thrilled that it had, like, they had started it, and it got all the way around. So it was, like, literally 30 seconds later, they're like, yeah, like, they did it again. This time, I think it made it all the way around, but you could tell it was really petering out toward the end. And then they were excited because it kind of made it back. They're like, let's do it again. Third time, though. I don't even remember it made it us, but I do know it didn't go all the way back, right? They started, didn't make it all the way back to them, and they were kind of disappointed, looking at the crowd like, what's going on? We're like, you know, two times is fine. Third time, all right, that's a little much, right? My arms are getting tired. I just want to sit down and watch the game, right? But their intention was, excuse me, not just to start it, but for this thing that they began to continue all the way, right? And that's the thought I want us to think about this morning is what God has started, but also what God wants to continue in our life. And we'll look at that this morning from this passage, because James is talking about, he starts talking in verse 18 about the beginning of something in our life. But then as he keeps going, he's talking about, all right, let's continue this. Let's do the work of continuing what God has begun in our life. And so it starts in verse 18 with the beginning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. It starts at the beginning, at the begetting, right? At our new birth. And he's talking about our spiritual birth, our salvation. This then starts our direction, right? It starts, it shows us how it's going to continue based on how it has begun. The same way God started it is how he wants it then to continue. And so we need to understand our beginning to make sure we're going in the right direction, to make sure that we're continuing the right thing. So it talks in verse 1, or verse 18, the first verse, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. A couple things. It says he begat us of his own will. That is, it's ordained of God, right? God determines what this salvation is, right? So it's the will of God, which means he wants us to be saved. It's not saying that it goes against our will or it's not our choice, because God does give us a choice about our salvation. He presents it to us and says, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He gives us our free will and a choice to believe in him. But what he's saying is, God wants everybody to be saved. This is God's will. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Then it says, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's will is not for people to perish, but for every single person to repent, to turn from their sin and turn to Jesus Christ. So this is what God wants. It's his will. And also, God then sets the terms for what salvation is. Right? There's out in the world, people can define things, it seems like, any way they want to define it. We say you can define how you want, but this is what God says, and God is the one who matters. And he says you are saved by faith in Jesus Christ alone. There is no other way. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. All right, he is the only beginning for us. There is no other beginning. The only foundation we have is Jesus Christ. And we need to know that we are built upon Jesus Christ. It's very important that all of us understand and know that we have this beginning. Because other people can try and build their life on different things. People can try and build their life on religion, on being a good person or going to church or a baptism or all of these sort of things. They can try and build their life on these other foundations, but those are not foundations. There is no other foundation than Jesus Christ. And it's very possible that there's someone here this morning that has been working hard to build their life upon a foundation that will not support them, that's trying to build their life and their eternity on the fact that they're doing good. They're good as a husband or a father or a wife or a mother or a child or whatever, right? And they're building their future on the fact that I'm good enough. I do good things. I go to church. I do all the right things. And they're piling their life on top of that. And the Bible says that foundation is going to crumble. It will not support you. And the end of that, of a life built upon something other than Christ, is an eternity in hell. That's the result of that. You need to know that you have built your soul and your eternity upon Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross for you. This is our foundation. And Paul says, right, this is the will of, or James says, this is the will of God for you. But he also says in verse 18 that he begat us with the word of truth. He begat us with the word of truth. Right? How do we build our life on Jesus Christ? Well, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Jesus gives a good illustration of this idea. In Matthew chapter 7, we have a story that Jesus Christ tells about a wise man and a foolish man. There's a foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. Doesn't bother with a foundation. He's not worried about those details. He just builds himself a nice house upon sand. Maybe he likes the beach or the ocean, right? And so he builds his house upon the sand. The Bible says, or Jesus gives the illustration, that all of a sudden a storm comes and the house is not able to stand because it does not have a foundation. So it falls apart. He contrasts that with a wise man who builds his house upon a rock, a solid foundation. And Jesus says, well, when the storm hits that man's house, it stands because he has a firm foundation. But if you look in verse 24, this is where he starts this whole analogy. And he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. He's saying, you know how you lay that foundation? Well, he says, you hear the word of God, and you do it. You listen to the word of God and you obey it. That's how you lay this strong foundation in Jesus Christ. Because the Bible tells us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Over and over in Scripture, the Bible says, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. So you trust in Jesus Christ, and if you listen and obey that message, you will be saved. And you will have a strong foundation in Jesus Christ. But the Bible gives us this choice. The Bible says you have a choice to be the wise man or the foolish man, to hear the word of God and obey, or to hear it and not obey, or to not listen, or whatever else. But this is your choice, right? Of you laying some foundation, but there's only one that is a true foundation. So James is laying this out. He's saying, all right, he begat us by his will with the word of truth, right? This is our start. If you're a Christian, this is how you started. Someone shared with you the word of God. You heard it, and then you made the choice to obey it. When the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you heard that and said, that's what I'm going to do. You made that choice to trust in Jesus Christ. So our beginning, James says, is in the word of truth. We heard it and we did it. We listened and we obeyed. That's where it all began. And now we get to the point of, okay, as it began, let's continue in that same way. And I want you to go with me to Colossians chapter 2. Paul says the same thing over in Colossians chapter 2. Because how God started it is how God intends it to continue. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. How did we receive Christ Jesus the Lord? We heard the word of God and we obeyed. So walk ye in him, he continues in verse 6. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And Paul says, listen, this is how you began. Keep going. Walk in him. Stay there, verse 7. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. Build your life upon that same foundation. Continue in the same way. Verse 8. Watch out for the things that are not the word of God. Don't go after those things. Don't listen and obey the philosophies and traditions of men, the rudiments, the things of this world. Stay after Christ. Listen to the word of God and obey the word of God. And if we go back to James and kind of pull back from the context that in the previous verses, this then is wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And God gives it to us through the word of God, so we listen and obey. This is safety. We talked about temptation and avoiding temptation. Hey, listening to the word of God and obeying it keeps us safe from temptation. And if we were to boil all of it down, this is the essence of the Christian life. This is the essence of our relationship with God. We listen to the word of God and we obey. It's hearing and doing the word of God. Your relationship with God depends upon your relationship with the word of God. If you hear and do the word of God, you'll be saved. You will hear the gospel and you will obey the gospel and you'll believe on Jesus Christ. And that is how you are saved, by faith in Jesus Christ. It's hearing and obeying the word of God. If you hear and do the will of God, you will live a life close with God, in fellowship with God, right with God, serving God, knowing God, being loved of God and experiencing the love of God. You will be who God wants you to be. You will do what God wants you to do. Our relationship with God depends upon our relationship with the Word of God. So we need to ask ourselves the question today, how is my relationship with the Word of God? How is my relationship with this book, with the Bible, with the Word of God? We could ask that question in terms of time, right? How much time do I really spend reading the Word of God and getting into the Word of God? How much time in my day do I spend in the Word of God? We could ask that question in terms of like passion. How interested really am I in the Word of God? How much do I really care about God's Word and it having a part in my life? How important is the Word of God really to me? But we have to understand this, that our relationship with this book matters. It is our relationship with God through the Word of God. And I think we would be fooling ourselves to think that we can have a close relationship with God and a right relationship with God and not touch this book. and not spend any time in the Word of God and not care about the Word of God. So what I want to do today is, let's use this passage to really challenge us and encourage us in regard to continuing in the Word of God, because that's where it all began. Now let's keep going. Let's do the work of continuing in the Word of God. And what follows in our passage, starting in verse 19 down through verse 22, is some instruction on how to have a profitable relationship with the Word of God and with God through His Word. It's really a two-part instruction. We'll break it down into two parts. And it's real simple, and I've mentioned it multiple times already. Point one is listen. You have to listen to the Word of God. So, verse 19, wherefore, because of how it began, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We have to pay attention to what God is trying to tell us. And it's as simple as reading the Word of God and listening to the written Word of God. But he says, beyond just hearing, he says, let every man be swift to hear, be quick to listen to the Word of God. It means like to be ready, to be eager to listen, to be passionate about it. Eric and I went to a choral concert a couple weeks ago, and it was over there in a church in Old Lyme. And so we sat about halfway back in that auditorium, and the choral group was up there doing a cappella singing. It was beautiful. They did a really incredible job. But in front of us was seated a group of four like younger individuals, younger than us. And they were what I found out later are called choir nerds. I didn't know there was such a thing. But choir nerds, right? Choral nerds, I guess. They were very into this choir music. You know, like two of them were pretty calm about it, but you could tell they were really like enjoying it. But then there were two that were very visibly emotional about this choral music. And you had the one girl that was just on the edge of her seat the whole time, and she would like cover her mouth and like look at her like her friends and be like, "What is going on?" And like just like so much enthusiasm about this music. And at one point, I texted Erica because I didn't want to talk in the middle of this, and I said, "What am I missing? Like, what do they hear in this music that I am not hearing?" But there were some people you could tell kind of around that were a little irritated by the display that they were putting on. It didn't bother me that much. I was just kind of like, whoa, it's interesting to see them like care this much about it. I was like, they're having an incredible time listening to this music, right? But just like that eagerness to listen and literally on the edge of their seat, listening to what was being sung. And I thought, you know what? Why, we should be like that with the Word of God, shouldn't we? Like maybe not having an emotional display this morning. And you don't have to express that as, yeah, thank you, Derek. Right? We don't need that emotion. But in our hearts, there should be a passion for the Word of God. Swift to hear the Word of God. Not a reluctance, not a check it off on the to-do list, but really an interest in the Word of God. That we understand how important it is to us and what God is, that God Himself is speaking to us. There needs to be a passion and an interest and an eagerness to hear the Word of God. Not just listening, but swift to hear, eager to hear, on the edge of our seat for the Word of God. There needs to be this commitment toward listening to the Word of God. But along with that instruction, in verse 19, there's two warnings that come with it. Because James says, all right, let's be swift to hear. But then he says, well, make sure you're also slow to speak and slow to wrath, which I believe are some wrong reactions to what we hear, because we can be pretty quick to speak after we hear the Word of God. I've read that one of the things that makes a person a bad listener is that they're constantly thinking of what they're going to say next. And I found myself doing this, right? In a conversation and somebody mentions something and I'm like, oh, I have a really good story to tell. You know, and I'm thinking about that and then I go, I completely stopped listening. I have no idea what they said after that point, right? Because I'm so focused on what I'm going to say and my thoughts. And without realizing it, it's like we've stopped listening because we've focused inward on what we want to say. And it's difficult to listen and to speak at the same time. So he says, slow to speak. But what is it? what is this speaking, right? What is being said? And I don't think, well, the passage doesn't really say what's being said. I don't think it's anything good. I don't think that he's saying, well, be slow to say, Lord, I agree, or yes, Lord, or Lord, I will obey. I don't think he's saying, well, take a minute and think about it before you agree to do this. Right? I think it's things that would be like more negative, right? Maybe it's, hey, let's be slow to share our opinions and our thoughts about these things. Let's really meditate and let God speak to us before we assume we know what it's all about and we go sharing our thoughts and our opinions on this. Let's be slow to add our interpretation to the Word of God. And I think maybe it's the idea of, why don't we meditate and just think about what God is saying before we move on and go, yeah, I know that. I understand that. Let me talk about it, or let me, you know, move on it, right? Let's meditate. Let's be slow to speak, but quick to hear. And then he also says, let's be slow to wrath. Slow to wrath. What's the reason that we get mad when something is said to us? Because we don't like what is being heard, right? We don't like what was just said to us. So I think we can be quick to get upset at what the Bible says sometimes. Remember the story of Naaman, right? So Naaman was a leper back in the days of the kings, right? In Israel's kingdom. And Naaman was a leper. He wasn't an Israelite. He was a Syrian, so outside of Israel. And he finds out that there's a prophet in Israel named Elisha who can heal. So he goes, after a little bit, he's like, I'm going to go visit Elisha. So he comes to Elisha in the land of Israel. And Elisha tells him, he says, all right, here's what you have to do to be healed. You have to go down to the Jordan River and dip yourselves 7 times in that river. And if you do that, you'll be healed. You'll be cleansed from your leprosy. And the Bible says Naaman gets upset at this. And he goes, I don't want to dip in that river. He goes, there's cleaner rivers back where I came from. Jordan River's dirty. Why do I want to do that? And he gets upset at this. And he like decides to leave, but then he gets talked out of it, right? But Naaman's like angry reaction to what God told him to do through Elisha almost meant he did not get cleansed. It almost meant he went the rest of his life as a leper because he reacted wrongly, because he was told to dip in a river that he thought was too dirty. And because he reacted in anger, he almost didn't get healed. Now, he got talked into doing it. And he went and did it, and God healed him. But if we have a wrong reaction to Scripture, we're going to walk away from that, and it's not going to change us in the way that we need to be changed. We have to be careful about the reactions that we have to the Word of God, that we understand that, yes, it's going to, sometimes Scripture is very confrontational with us, and sometimes that hurts, and sometimes we can get offended by what the Word of God points out to us. But what is getting mad going to do? How is that going to help us at all? The Word of God has our best interest in mind, and it is best for us to come to the Word of God in humility and to really be teachable when God confronts us. And I want you to go with me to Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. In Job chapter 38, God's been dealing with Job. So the story of Job is that Job went through a lot of trials. Almost everything was taken away from Job, including his health. And then the middle of the book of Job is this long conversation Job has with several of his friends about why this happened. And they're just discussing God and things of God and why bad things happen and all that sort of stuff. And Job has been doing his share of talking. But then in Job 38, the Lord steps in, and the Lord says, all right, I've heard enough of this. And then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? He's like, who are you to talk about things that you really do not understand? He says, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee an answer thou me. Look down to chapter 40 in verse 1. So the Lord says, all right, Job, here's what I know, here's who I am. And in chapter 40 and verse 1, moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. And the Lord says, are you going to teach me? Are you going to talk about things that you don't understand and teach me? And then we come down to chapter 42. Chapter 42 and verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? He repeats back that question that the Lord asked him. And he says, therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Job says, I was talking about things that I really didn't understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. And then he says, here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. And verse 4 is a little tricky to understand, but basically what Job is saying, he's saying, Lord, if you allow me to talk just one more time, he says, I beseech thee, and I will speak. He says, here's what I'm going to say. I will demand, and that's not a, it sounds ruder in English than it does in Hebrew, but it's the idea of, I'm going to ask you to talk to me. He says, Lord, if you allow me to say one thing, he says, what I'm going to say is, I'll be quiet, and will you please teach me? That's where Job came down to. After he spends like the whole book talking, the Lord says, what do you really understand? What do you really know? You're uttering things that you don't understand. And Job comes to the conclusion that if I'm going to say anything, it's just going to be to ask God to teach me. And he came to this point where he understood his need to be teachable, where he had to humble himself and say, Lord, I don't understand everything. I am sometimes quick to speak and assume that I know everything. And then sometimes I'm quick to anger. I'm quick to react to what I hear from the Word of God. We need to approach Scripture with a very teachable heart, one that's humble, and say, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. And Lord, I am wrong in so many ways. Lord, will you teach me? It's this instruction that we have in James chapter 1, that we need to continue in the Word of God by listening. And there can be times where we get to the point where we go, well, I've heard it all before. I know the Word of God. But even our like maturity and knowing a lot about the Word of God doesn't mean that we don't still need to listen. We have to continue in the way it began. It started by listening to the Word of God. We need to continue to listen. Don't be quick to speak. Don't be quick to anger. Be quick to listen. Be quick to spend time in the Word of God, and to do it with a teachable heart. And while we're on this subject, I think James says, verse 20, he said, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It's not going to do anything when you get angry. But also he says in verse 21, while we're talking about it, wherefore, my beloved, verse 21, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Also, you got to put away like all that wickedness, right? All that sin. Sin hardens our heart to the Word of God. Sin really hinders the work of the Holy Spirit in teaching us, guiding us into all truth. If you know there's sin in your life, just put it out of your life. Move all of that out. The more sin we have in our life, the less we are going to really be able to listen to the Word of God. It's like somebody's trying to talk with you, and you get a winter hat and you pull it over your ears. And then they keep talking, and you grab another one and you pull it on. And all of a sudden you're piling on winter hats like over your ears, so you hear less and less. This is what sin does, right? When it builds up in our lives, we hear less and less of the Word of God. It's harder and harder for the Word of God to get through to us. That's why the Bible talks about the Word of God as like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Because sometimes that is our head. Our head is that rock. And we need the Word of God to really smash its way through to get through to us. And he says, wherefore, put all that away. And he says, just receive with meekness the engrafted word. Just be humble, be meek, submit yourselves to the Word of God. Quick to hear. This is what we need to do. This is how it started. It started with us listening to the Word of God. This is how it's going to continue. Listen to the Word of God. And be active in listening. But we need to listen, excuse me, to the Word of God. Here's the second, then, instruction. Not only listening, but then, obviously, in verse 22, obeying. Doing the Word of God. Listen to what God has to say, and then very simply, just do it. Just obey. So verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Hearing's only half of the equation. It's an important half, right? Because you can't do the second half without doing the first half. But still, it's listening is just only half. You need both of them. I've assembled some furniture in my day, and I always start with reading the directions, right? It just makes sense to me. If I'm going to know how to do it, I'm not smart enough to figure it out without the instructions. I'm going to get something wrong. Sorry, right? So it always starts with reading the instructions. But nothing has gotten built whenever I've stopped there. If I just get this box of, you know, furniture parts and I get out the instructions and I read the instructions, nothing has been built, right? I can't stop there. I have to do the work of assembly, right? I have to do the things that the instructions tell me to do. And go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is talking about the foundation that has been laid. And I read verse 11 earlier. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if we start back in verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And we talked about that before, right? That is us laying the foundation. We listened to the gospel. We did what the gospel told us to do, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But now he says, verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. And he talks about what we can build upon it. But my point is this. You got to build upon that foundation. The same way you laid the foundation is how you build this foundation. Work needs to get done. A life needs to be built. And listening is good. And it needs to be done. But it falls short if it's not paired with obedience. If all we do is listen, nothing is going to get built. There has to be that work of getting things done, of obeying the Word of God. And responding to the Word of God with inactivity, as he says in James chapter 1, verse 22, it deceives ourselves. We're fooling ourselves because nothing's getting done. But I think it's easy to do, right? I think it's easy to do to think that, like, listening to the Word of God and even reading the Word of God, or coming to church and sitting here in a service and hearing preaching and all those sort of things, I think it's easy for us to fool ourselves into thinking that things are getting done, right? Because we are listening to the Word of God and we're listening to preaching and we're reading the Word of God. But James says, okay, what are you doing with what you've heard? What are you doing? What decisions are you making? Is anything happening for all that you've listened to, right? And parents, we've experienced this with kids, right? We give them instructions and we go, I know you heard me, but what did you do? Because it looks very obviously that you did not do anything. I know you heard what I said, but and that's great, but I really needed that next step of you obeying and doing things. Right? But we as Christians, we can do the work of listening. But James says, you're deceiving yourself if that's all you do. If you don't obey, if you don't make any changes, if you don't take any steps after that, you're really deceiving yourself. And we're going to talk about this next week, next Sunday, Lord willing, but in verse 23, 24, and 25, James uses the illustration of a person who looks at themselves in a mirror, and they get that feedback about themselves, but then they just go their way and don't make any changes, right? They don't do anything. And it's honestly not that crazy, because probably a lot of people do it. They get up in the morning, they look at themselves and say, good enough, and off they go, right? Just kind of go their way. It looks like nobody here did that. I want to make that clear, right? But people like who get feedback about themselves, but then in some way deceive themselves and go, it doesn't really matter, or I don't care, and then kind of just keep going. And the point is that just seeing a problem doesn't change anything. Just hearing about issues in your life or sin in your life doesn't change anything. You have to work with God. You have to take steps to make a difference. We need to do something about what God points out to us. And case in point, right? If God shows you today, hey, you need to read your Bible more, right? You need to spend more time in the Word of God. That's great. But we can have that feeling, right? Oh, man, I need to do something about this. I need to read my Bible more. I need to spend more time in the Word of God. We can hear that, but then walk out of here and not do anything about it. We can feel that conviction of God saying, oh, you need to make some changes in this regard, or in any regard, and we go, yeah, I know, and then walk out of here and just not, right? Just Monday morning happens, and we don't continue in the way that we are supposed to. It's a two-step process. There is listening, but then there has to be obeying. There has to be doing. Both parts of this equation have to be present. You don't want to go out there and do things and not know what the Word of God says. But you also don't want to know what the Word of God says and not do it. Our relationship with God is us listening and obeying what God says. That's how it began. Our relationship began by listening to the gospel and then obeying the gospel. And now James says, all right, keep going. Just keep doing that. Do that over and over throughout your life and you'll be good. Just listen and obey. And we're kidding ourselves if we think we can be close to God and not be close to His Word. But look down in verse 21. The end of verse 21. I'm going to close with this. Here's what God says will be the result of us listening and obeying. Because we come down to the end of verse 21, and He says, listen, if you receive with meekness the engrafted Word, it's able to save your souls. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you can be. That is the message of the entire Word of God. God wants to save you. You can be saved. I don't care who you are, what you've done, your background, any of that. God is able. God can save you. If you just listen to the message of the gospel, which is you are a sinner, you are lost in your sin, and you're on your way to hell. When you die, you will go to hell in your sin. And then the Bible says, well, Jesus Christ took your sin and He died in your place. He was your sacrifice on the cross. Then the Bible says, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you call upon Him to save you, you will be saved. You listen and you obey that. And the Bible says it's able to save your souls. You can be delivered from hell if you just trust in Jesus Christ. If you just listen and obey what the Bible tells you to do. But it also applies to the believer. And if we take the word save and maybe we change it to the word safe, I think it'll help us understand. Because sometimes we hear the word save and we only think about like the gospel and saving your soul from hell. But sometimes the Bible uses the word save in other different ways. And we can also think about it as we'll be safe, spiritually safe, if we listen to and obey the Word of God. We've already been warned about temptation. Do we want to be safe as Christians? Do we want to live lives that are protected by God? Well, God does it through the Word of God. If you listen and obey the Word of God, He protects you. He keeps you safe. He's given us the Word of God so that we know the path that is safe and protected for us to walk. If we walk in that, it's able to keep us safe. It's able to save our souls. Listen and obey. I'm glad you're all here this morning on a Sunday morning. It shows a desire to listen to the Word of God. But we're talking about Monday morning, right? Monday morning Christianity. What is our Monday morning going to look like, right? Is it going to look like we're listening to the Word of God? Where we're quick to hear, where we get up Monday morning, we're like, I'm going to take some time, make sure I'm in the Word of God. I'm going to start my day off right. I'm going to get my heart and my mind focused on God from the beginning of my day. Not waiting till later, but right at the beginning, I want to focus my mind and my heart on God. I'm going to listen to the Word of God. But then there has to be that decision. I'm also going to obey. I'm going to ask the Lord to show me some things, and then I'm going to ask the Lord for strength and trust in Him, and I'm going to go out and do what God's Word tells me to do. What's our relationship with the Word of God going to be like tomorrow? There's other options. There's the option of, I close my Bible Sunday morning and it doesn't get opened again till next Sunday morning. That is an option. It's not a good one, right? There's a lot of ways that we can deal with this. But what's the Lord convicting us about this morning? What's He trying to get through to us of the changes that we need to make and how we can be better in this, listening and doing the Word of God, the work of continuing. God rejoices in what Jesus Christ has begun in us because we listened to and obeyed the Word of God. But He's looking for that to continue, that we would continue to hear the Word of God and continue to do the Word of God. And the work starts tomorrow morning, Monday morning. We get up and we go to work for the Lord. What are we going to do? Are we going to continue? You started today listening and the work of continuing into obedience, that needs to happen. But it's all about the Word of God for us. Our relationship with God depends upon our relationship with the Word of God. Listen and obey. That's how it started. Let's continue. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for Your Word this morning. Lord, I'm thankful for the Word of God. Lord, there's so many times that we neglect it, that we move on to other things, and that it really doesn't hold as much of a place in our heart as it should. Lord, help us to love your word. Help us to love you. Help us to be quick to listen to you, Lord, and not be so quick to move on to other things. But Lord, many times it falls apart because we don't take that step of obedience and doing your word. But Lord, help us to have the strength and the boldness that we need to make the changes that need to be made in our lives. Lord, make that very clear to us. Help us to listen. Help us to obey. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.